"Barbara," said she, "can you not bring a little more bread and butter? There is not enough for three." Barbara went out. She returned soon. "Madam, Mrs. Harden says she sent up the usual quantity." Mrs. Harden, be it observed, was the housekeeper, a woman after Mr. Brucklehurst's own heart, made up of equal parts of whalebone and iron. "Oh, very well," returned Miss Temple. "We must make it do, Barbara, I suppose." But as the girl withdrew, she added, smiling, "Fortunately, I have it in my power to supply deficiencies for this once." Having invited Helen and me to approach the table, and placed before each of us a cup of tea with one delicious but thin morsel of toast, she got up, unlocked a drawer, and taking from it a parcel wrapped in paper, disclosed presently to our eyes a good-sized seed-cake. "I meant to give each of you some of this to take with you," said she, "but as there is so little toast, you must have it now." And she proceeded to cut slices with a generous hand. We feasted that evening as on nectar and ambrosia, and not the least delight of the entertainment was the smile of gratification with which our hostess regarded us, as we satisfied our famished appetites on the delicate fare she liberally supplied. Tea over and the tray removed, she again summoned us to the fire. We sat one on each side of her, and now a conversation followed between her and Helen, which it was indeed a privilege to be admitted to hear. Miss Temple had always something of serenity in her air, of state in her mien, of refined propriety in her language, which precluded deviation into the ardent, the excited, the eager, something which chastened the pleasure of those who looked on her and listened to her by a controlling sense of awe, and such was my feeling now. But as to Helen Burns, I was struck with wonder. The refreshing meal, the brilliant fire, the presence and kindness of her beloved instructress, or perhaps more than all of these, something in her own unique mind, had roused her powers within her. They woke, they kindled. First they glowed in the bright tint of her cheek, which till this hour I had never seen but pale and bloodless. Then they shone in the liquid lustre of her eyes, which had suddenly acquired a beauty more singular than that of Miss Temple's, a beauty neither of fine colour nor long eyelash nor pencilled brow, but of meaning, of movement, of radiance. Then her soul sat on her lips, and language flowed from what source I cannot tell. Has a girl of 14 a heart large enough, vigorous enough to hold the swelling spring of pure, full, fervid eloquence? Such was the characteristic of Helen's discourse on that, to me, memorable evening. Her spirit seemed hastening to live within a very brief span, as much as many live during a protracted existence.